The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday, August 21st, 9 p.m. here on the back end of Sports Talk 1240. I'm your host, Paul Spiteri. Brian Graves on the other side of the glass and produced by the venerable Rob Cole. Welcome to the show, everybody. Tonight we will have first half hour. I'm going to talk a bit about the state of New York sports, which I got to tell you guys, if you're sitting back and thinking about it, I think we're in a pretty bad spot right now, and I'm going to tell you why I think that. And then at 9:30, we'll be joined by Mr. Howard Cross. Howard will be joining us. I will be talking Giants football with him, a little bit about his career, and talk about what he witnessed yesterday up in Buffalo, which was ugly. But, you know, then again, you watch preseason football, and it is generally ugly. I was watching my team last night, the Denver Broncos, and, you know, I really got to see firsthand how awful Mark Sanchez can be. And as much as I saw it here for you Jet fans, I watched it from my team last night. Ugly. The guy can't hold on to a football. He looks like a deer in the headlights under the rush. Awful. I pray to God he's on our quarterback in 2 weeks. But anyway, it's the end of the summer, everyone. We're kind of getting to the end of the dog days. First, the Olympics are over. Oh, then finally we can go back to not giving a crap about diving, relay races, and archery. I know it's fun and exciting. Everyone loves to root. But it's funny how no one talks about any of these sports for 4 years. But it's over. And the one thing I noticed, which was quite funny, one country in the medal table was called independent. I think I want to move there. There's probably no taxes, perfect life. But I couldn't believe there was a country that won a medal that was dubbed independent. Quite funny. And I do want to mention, before we go into what I call the major sports, is that golf is returning to Long Island, which is sadly the one major sporting event we have out here on the island. Bethpage Black hosting the Barclays tournament starting tomorrow, I think. So for all you golf fans, get out to Bethpage Black, not too far from here in the studios in Babylon, not too far from my house in Wanto, but the Barclays tournament hosted at Bethpage Black, the one and only major sports tournament or event, really, that occurs on Long Island, which is quite sad. Not that the Islanders are much of an event, but at least we had them. So, guys, I got to tell you, I'm getting a little bit, I don't know the term, frustrated, agitated, I don't know what to say. But New York sports right now, in my opinion, is really at a mediocre level. I mean, when you think about it, folks, there are no teams in New York that are in any shape or form ready to win any titles anytime soon, right? I know years ago, I thought the New York Rangers, they were probably the best team that we had in New York. They were right on the doorstep. But, you know, we'll talk about the Rangers in a second, but the Rangers are nowhere near winning a title. And clearly the New York Mets aren't. As I'm looking over at my screen, good old Jeff Samardzija and his 4.23 RA coming into tonight is no-hitting the Mets through the first four innings. So the Mets are back to being the Mets after a little tease yesterday. But when you think about how mediocre of a sports city have we become, right? When you think about it, you know, we haven't had a title in this town in years when you think about it, right? The last title might have been the Giants winning the Super Bowl, right? The Mets close but no cigar last year, and the Mets are cliffing fast. I got to tell you, I'm more worried about the Mets now. I've been sitting here on this show talking about, oh, I'm a huge fan of the Mets, great things. I'm starting to really wonder what I was thinking, because when you think about how this team is being handled from, you know, the voodoo doctors that are in the medical staff, you know, we lose Cespedes for 3 weeks, and when he probably should have been shut down earlier, and I don't think it's the golf. I just think the guy shouldn't be playing center field, shouldn't be running around, whatever he's doing. They just don't handle injuries well. Right? It's just amazing. So the Mets, when you look, there's a great article in the paper today, the Mets are potentially going to fall off a cliff. If Cespedes leaves, they lose Neil Walker. Who knows what you get from Harvey? We got Zach Wheeler who takes, you know, 2 years. The only guy who comes back from Tommy John surgery, came and pitched in 2 years. The Mets are relatively close to falling off a cliff. You know, and I think it's something that we really have to worry about. By the way, but if you want to call into the show tonight and talk to me about why New York sports is not as bad as what I'm thinking, please, 631, 888-8811. Again, 631-888-8811 is the call-in number tonight if you want to talk about New York sports. But I got to tell you, I honestly think we are in the land of mediocrity. It's like this city should be planted in the Midwest because that's what we're getting. The Yankees, all right, the Yankees are rebuilding. Guys, I'm not even a Yankee fan. But if I was, I would be absolutely miserable that I'm sitting here, wow, we have great prospects, what a wonderful future, in 3 years. You're the New York Yankees. You're not used to sucking like you do now. And now that's what they do. It's terrible. You're rebuilding. When has that ever happened? And everyone's happy about rebuilding. It's unbelievable where everyone has sunk to. Now, granted, yes, in baseball, it's about building through the forces. I get it. But, you got to continuously be good. The St. Louis Cardinals never fall off a cliff and suck for 5 years, right? This is just amazing how we're settling. Now, if anyone is mediocre, we could go point to the New York Jets. The New York Jets were mediocre since 1969. Right? And they have not done anything. And this is not the year. It's amazing if you took the Jets quarterback controversy, or call it controversy, when Fitzpatrick wasn't signed, this would be non-news in any other city. We're sitting here, pins and needles, will a guy with a record of 32-55 sign and play quarterback for our football team? Who blew your chance to make the playoffs last year? Bob, but this is what we've resigned ourselves to. It's terrible. But we used to mediocrity with the Jets. That's what you're gonna get. And by the way, Jet fans, I mean, you're not, this year, the only thing that I could possibly see as a shining light is if the Patriots slip a bit with Brady out 4 games. But you know, when he comes back, he is gonna be a possessed demon like he was last year when everybody messed with him and he came out a great season. Wait till he comes back. If they go 2-2, they're winning that division. The only way the Jets have a shot if the Patriots really cliff in those first 4 games and the Jets can somehow come out 2-2 with their first the schedule that they have, maybe a little more. I got to tell you right now, right, the Jets are absolutely the way that you have to think about mediocrity here. So we're all becoming the Jets. Now, the Giants, right, in my opinion, probably the most equipped to be one of the better teams in the city. But the Giants are full of imperfections. I mean, if you think about yesterday, this is a preseason game, right? I mean, we'll talk to Howard a little bit about that. But yeah, it's unbelievable, right? The Giants, who have their problems, probably have the best chance. They've had a great bunch of signings. Let's see what they can do. But by no stretch of the imagination, is anyone saying the Giants are top 4 teams in the NFC? I don't think anyone would say that right now. I think they have a chance to win their division, but no one would sit here and be shocked if Washington didn't beat them out, right? Again, folks, you want to call in 631-888-8811 if you want to talk about some of the New York sports. Let's move on to hockey. The New York Rangers, right? I mean, they're slowly but surely becoming the San Diego Chargers of hockey. Boring, nondescript, right? I'm reading, everyone's excited. Oh, my God, they signed a kid out of Harvard who's a free agent. Is this what's going to turn the franchise around? Kid hasn't skated 1 second in the minors, let alone the NHL, and this is what we're getting excited about, Jeff Gordon? Is this what we want? With the New York Rangers, we've been so close to the cup. Now we're sitting here signing college free agents. I'm sure the kid could be a good hockey player one day. But we're looking at next season. The team is almost identical, probably worse than they were last year. I got a guy from Ottawa. The first thing I got to do is learn to pronounce his name. Yeah, but hopefully he'll be better than Brassard. Who knows? He's a little bit bigger, a little bit faster. But, most of the people in New York, who, unless you're a super diehard hockey fan, probably couldn't even tell me what this guy looks like on the ice. Right, but that's what we have after the Rangers are headed south and fast. If things don't turn around, we got tremendous problems. Right, they're getting old, and I still think Lundqvist has to go. We are full of mediocrity in hockey. And the Islander fans, please, all of you Islander fans, you know what? I thought of this the other day. The Islander fans are like those cicada bugs. I heard them all over this morning and out. They go, and they die. But if you read about the cicada bugs, you know what they are, folks? They're in the ground for 17 years. They come out, they live for a month, and they die again. That's like the Islander fans. That's what we get. We have a call. Andy in Pennsylvania, you're on Sports Talk 1240.
What's up, Paul? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not too bad. Talking about the Rangers, the Mets.
I'm talking about everything that's mediocre in the city of New York and the sports.
You try living in Philadelphia. Where are you?
Well, I mean, that's, but at least we're a little more classier than the Philadelphia fans, which isn't saying much.
That's true. Yeah, but, I mean, the Rangers, look at Pittsburgh last year with the goalie. I mean, they got a rookie goalie to win the cup. We're sitting there paying $10 million a year to this goalie, and they got nothing in front of them.
And that goalie made $650,000. Our goalie makes $10 million, and we couldn't even beat them.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got no offense. That's the problem.
No, honestly, I'm a Ranger fan. You're a Ranger fan. Are you excited about this season?
Not really.
And can you pronounce the name of the guy they just traded Brassard for?
Oh, is it Bidjabidjabid?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. So he sounds like Al Akbar is going to run through a mall someday. I mean, this is all we have. I don't even know who this guy is, but we're supposed to get excited about him?
But, you know, Hobie Baker Award winner.
Yeah,
in.
Well, listen, we got from Harvard. Probably got the smartest hockey player in the league now. Got a kid from Harvard. He might be doing Pythagorean theorem on the ice. Maybe that'll help us.
Maybe Fitzpatrick could go and root for him.
Yeah. maybe you could figure out why Rick Nash sucks for $9 million a year.
And the Mets, yeah, look, the Mets, they with their injuries, there's nothing. I mean, look at their starting lineup from opening day compared to now. The whole infield's different.
All right, but here's the Mets lineup tonight, Andy. Reyes, Granderson, Cespedes, Bruce, Walker, Loney, Cabrera, Rivera, Syndergaard. That's not awful on paper.
No, but you know what awful is? Is that he's sticking with Granderson at the top of the lineup. The guy can hit it out of a paper bag right now.
Yeah, well, Granderson's hitting .223 as I see it live. Oh, by the way, Jeff Samardzija is still no-hitting the New York Mets.
Well, and he's not even lefty.
Jay Bruce hitting .050 since we traded for him?
I think Jay Bruce forgot his bats in Cincinnati. Yeah,
well, listen, maybe he's the 2016 Jason Bay version for all of us Met fans.
Mets get great players. They come to New York and they stink.
Yeah. Andy, what do you think about the Jets?
You know, I think their defense can be really good. I think that the first six games are tough, but if you look at their last 10 games, they got an easy schedule. They got Patriots twice, and everybody else isn't that great.
Well, neither are the Jets, right? But that's half the problem.
Yeah, but, you know, you have Sanchez on your team, so they ain't no better.
Let me tell you, I taped that game. I watched it this morning, and I almost vomited. He is awful. He's playing against third stringers. They get a little pressure on him. The ball goes on the ground twice within the 20-yard line. I said, God help me, Peyton Manning, get back on the field.
Well, you'll suffer through Paxton Lynch the rest of the year.
That's all right. He can throw the ball at least.
Yeah, well, you guys live on your defense, just like last year.
Hold on, I'm looking at my ring. Oh, wait, I don't have one, but they do.
Funny. Yeah, but and the Giants. I mean, the Giants have a lot of holes, you know. Their offensive line is terrible. I mean, you know, and that's talking about Justin Pugh, who, you know, grew up right in my neighborhood. But that their offensive line is just terrible, and they have no linebackers whatsoever.
No, I agree with you. I think, though, the Giants are in a division where, I mean, listen, you're a local Philly guy. The Eagles suck. I don't think anyone's going to argue
terrible.
That. I think the Dallas Cowboys defense is terrible. I think it's Washington and the Giants. So the Giants are in a division that they could win if they stay healthy and they execute. There's no doubt about it. But, no, they have their problems. I mean, right now, would you put the Giants up to beat Seattle, Carolina, Green Bay in a playoff game?
Of course not.
No. I mean, I don't see it either. And by the way, Minnesota, I actually think I'll call Minnesota to make the Super Bowl this year. I think Minnesota is going to move up.
They have a good team. They have good defense.
Right. So, you know, the Giants have an early Monday night game against them. It should be a good game to see how the Giants are gauged in terms of progress. But, no, I mean, the Giants are better off to me than the Jets. But, again, they have their problems. They absolutely do.
You know, they're just lucky. They're in a crappy division. And look at the Patriots. I'm sorry. They're losing a lot of players. They lost an offensive lineman yesterday. He's out for the season. Their running back's out for 10 weeks. You didn't even hear of any of their wide receivers. You probably can't even name three of them.
No, they're beatable. I think Denver proved that. Their defense can beat them. I think, though, New England, you still got Tom Brady. He'll be more rested. And the thing is, they don't lose playoff games up there. If they get home games in the playoffs, they are very tough to beat. But I honestly, when I look around the AFC, listen, at the end of the day, they can still make it, right? I mean, Denver is still got the great defense, but the problems at quarterback. Cincinnati's got issues. Pittsburgh, you know, half their team's in rehab. You look around the rest of the AFC, you know, you wouldn't sit here and say, oh, my God, the Patriots are making the Super Bowl AFC championship game and be shocked right now.
Well, I mean, look, Brady's 39. You know, at some point, he has to fall off a cliff.
Yeah,
hopefully it's this year.
It certainly wasn't last year.
No.
So, you know, unless I think they're still formidable. As much as I hate the coach, he obviously knows what he's doing. But, no, at some point, the glass slipper is going to come off Cinderella. And some of the things that they've been able to get away with, they may not be able to. But, you know, until they prove us otherwise, you still got to say they're the team to beat in the AFC East.
Of course. It's like the Braves in the 90s.
Yeah. That, without a doubt.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks, Paul.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
So, again, folks, everyone wants to call in 631-888-8811 as we head into the break in about 10 minutes and then bring Howard Cross on. Just to go in through the rest of New York, I mean, we talked about the Islanders. Again, the Islanders, you know, I look back at hockey and the Islanders, and it still bothers me that, and I don't care what anyone says, they backed into that Panthers playoff series where they beat them up and the Rangers got stuck with Pittsburgh. Listen, the Rangers deserved their fate. They lost the end of the year. But the Islanders, with a couple of breaks, if the Islanders go up against Pittsburgh, they're going to get smacked in the first round, too. And no one's even talking about their great one round, the first playoff round win in 25 years, right? So, again, when you look at hockey in this town, I don't see anyone emerging. There's much better teams in the East than the Rangers and the Islanders. You know, maybe something will surprise us, but the only way the Rangers are back in the conversation of an elite team is if some of these guys like Kreider and Hayes, they step up and they're playing much better than they had. They are not elite hockey players. They're not top line hockey players, but they need to start playing like it if there's ever going to be a difference. Right? We look over at basketball. The Knicks are the Knicks. Full of bluster, full of big names. But do me a favor, everyone. Call me at President's Day and let me know if the Knicks are still involved. Because at the end of the day, the Knicks with Derrick Rose, if Derrick Rose is a bust, he's a free agent. We have no point guard again next year. So you can't be sitting here and say, wow, the Knicks have this great plan. Phil Jackson's just trying to do something right so he doesn't look like a complete fool coming in here and taking $20 million a year, which I'm sure he doesn't care about, but the Dolan hands him out. Because at the end of the day, they have been absolutely miserable. When you think about it, over the past 10 years, outside of a couple of years where Carmelo took them through a round or two, they are not. They have been less than mediocre than the Knicks. And with this team that they put together, it is so razor thin. You got Porzingis, who's the future. Courtney Lee's a nice player. But, of course, he comes to New York, and now everyone thinks he's so much better. He's a nice, average type of guard that they're going to have. Joakim Noah, yeah, great defender. He's played great in the past. He is always hurt. Does everyone think he's going to come to New York and the magic medical fairy is going to make this guy feel better? Same with Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose has been a great MVP of the league for a couple of years ago. But he's got to stay healthy. You know, it's his face, it's his knee. He's always got something. Right now, he's got to be motivated playing for a contract. But he's still been very banged up, as has Noah. Right? So at the end of the day, the Knicks are an injury or two away from being absolutely terrible. I mean, they're so thin, they signed Vujicic to come back again. Right? And when you look over at Brooklyn, right? Oh, the New York Nets, New Jersey, Brooklyn Nets, whatever they call, they are awful. How did this team go? I remember years ago saying, wow, Deron Williams, they had Brook Lopez. They were much better than the Knicks. They were competitive. Out of nowhere, this team the last few years has absolutely become a stink bomb of a franchise over in Brooklyn. And I mean, that's one of those things. You take your kids and probably buy a ticket for $5 and go watch the other team play because you can't really look at anyone in the Nets that you really want to watch. Jeremy Lin? So bring Jeremy Lin in? Yeah, bring in some fans, and he's exciting because he's been a local guy and he played great in New York. Yeah, by the way, another Harvard graduate. You think about it. I would love when my kids go to Harvard, but I can't believe New York sports is relying on three Harvard graduates, Fitzpatrick Lin, and now the kid that Rangers signed, Vesey. It's amazing when you think about that. But anyway, this has become a so-so town in sports, and I think it stinks. And I think, again, I'm not a Yankee fan, but all of you Yankee fans are unbelievably settling for rebuilding. Oh, we're rebuilding. We got great prospects. Oh, by the way, you still don't have a pitcher worth the spit out of my mouth on this microphone on the Yankees roster. Next, and by the way, next year, you're going to be sitting on a, hold on, I'm doing a little math here, 52, 69, $83 million of garbage on your roster next year. You ready? Headley, $14 million. Ellsbury, $17 million. CeCe's going to invest at $25 million for a guy throwing 83 miles an hour. Good job, Yankees. Oh, and by the way, I know he's gone, but he's still going to cost you $27 million. Good old Alex Rodriguez. Right? And I'm actually going to give Brian Cashman a gold star because I think he's going to be able to trade McCann and Garner. But by the way, he's going to eat some of that salary. So you're still paying for some of your sins. You still made some mistakes. Chase Headley, you signed this guy for 3 years, $14, $15 million? What were you thinking? And the guy you traded for him, Solari, is a better player, probably making $1 million a year. So before you Yankee fans sit there and break your arm, patting yourselves on the back, don't forget some of these things. And you picked up kids. Kids are great. Oh, I love prospects. Nobody in this town probably, except for the real baseball geeks, have ever seen these kids play. Oh, but it's great moves. Let's see. Gary Sanchez has come up and great. Gary Sanchez is starting to prove. He's hitting 364. I don't think he's getting 364, folks. And by the way, you've been beating up like teams on Tampa and the Angels. The Yankees next couple of weeks. We'll see if you're still real. Seattle, Baltimore, Toronto, Baltimore, Kansas City. Let's see how everyone hits then. Right, but the Yankees still don't have pitching. And if without pitching, you don't win. Plain and simple. Right? So I'm glad you're all happy. I'm glad you're rebuilding. Right? But you're still rebuilding. And the Mets, again, back to the Mets. I am so blanking tired of this team and this front office. I don't know if I can defend them anymore. The garbage is piling high. Right? Sandy Orles and some of your picks, when you think about it, right? These all the pitchers the Mets have, he inherited. Poor old Omar Minaya, vanquished. Lord knows where he is now. Right? But this guy's drafted Brandon Nemo. You watch Brandon Nemo, nice kid. He's got that, oh, shucks, look. Brandon Nemo's a fourth outfielder, folks, at best. He should be playing in San Diego and nobody gives a you-know-what about baseball. And how about these injuries? Can this team ever get an injury right? I mean, I talked about Cespedes. Wheeler, this guy goes down 2 years for Tommy John. I mean, what happened to his arm? Who knows? Harvey now goes down. Duda's a mess. David Wright, a guy, great guy. You know, one of my favorite players ever is a Mets. He's got to become a coach. David Wright's finished. And Matt. Matt seems to have an ailment every other start. Right? I'm waiting for him to go down with the next problem. Yeah, and Syndergaard, you know, he's throwing 98 miles an hour tonight. But at the end of the day, you know, you're just waiting for the shoe to drop. Right? You're just waiting for the shoe to drop. With him. By the way, Mets being no hit for five innings by Jeff Samardzija. I should tell you how the season's going. Right? So, again, baseball, I think we're in a tough run. I think next year is going to be very tough for both of these franchises, including the New York Mets, who I'm very curious to see what that team's going to look like next year, because I'm looking at holes at catcher, holes at first, holes at second, holes at third, hole in the outfield or two. Guys, think about it. This problem is in your pitching rotation. If Matz goes down, if Syndergaard goes down, who knows what you get from Harvey? Zach Wheeler, I don't know what I'm ever going to expect from him. Dude, there could be lots of problems in Citi Field. Lots of problems. Right? And again, I look over in football, you know what I think of the Jets. Oh, by the way, the Jets, you drafted a kid in the second round, Christian Hackenberg. How about playing him in the preseason? God forbid, where is this guy? You drafted him in the second round. The preseason's a time to play the kids. And what are we watching? Four quarters of Bryce Petty, for God's sake, yesterday. And Geno Smith, do you really need to see Geno Smith play another down in the NFL to know that he stinks? No, but you keep putting him out there. Wonderful. Let's see more Geno. Cut him! Done! Enough! Put the kid in. You drafted a second round pick, and he hasn't even played yet. My other favorite line I heard over the week was the coach Bowl saying about, well, you know, tight end isn't that important. It's not important because your tight ends stink. You need a tight end in the NFL. The Jets don't even have a good third wide receiver. It's very convenient to say, I don't need a tight end when your tight ends suck. Enough. Put Hackenberg in. Get a tight end. The Jets' offense is running on paper thin. Your margin for error is next to nothing. I will also almost guarantee you Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't play the full season. I honestly think, again, if Ryan Fitzpatrick's quarterback situation was in Kansas City or Tampa Bay or some other nondescript town, no one would be talking about it. But because it was here, everyone was talking about it. Right? But that's New York. That's what we do. But folks, get real. And your hope this year, it's a consistency for the New York Football Giants that they can be competitive. The Knicks, you hope that their paper mache knees that they picked up from Chicago can stay healthy and they're competitive. You hope the New York Rangers, some of their kids who you've been waiting for to emerge, like Chris Kreider, who seems like he's out to lunch half the time, emerge. Otherwise, we are back to nothing again and again. And I'm going to talk about your New York Islanders. Let's show me again, not the Takeda. You come out of the ground and die. Let's see you do it again, and then we'll talk about you. But that's New York sports, guys. And that's I got to sit here and say, and I root for New York teams in every sport except for football. Right? My football team, I'm lucky. The Broncos are always good. Even when they stink, they're 8-8, 9-7. That's them stinking. They play in Denver. Right? If that team that they built and Elway was here, then forget it. We wouldn't stop ever hearing about how good they are. But the rest of New York is, I'm sitting here saying, okay, my Mets are bad. The Yankee fans, who I always argue with, are sitting here, again, you know, having celebrations over dumping their team. The Jets are the Jets. I mean, God, I hope before my father gets too old, the Jets win something, because he's been waiting forever. He's 73 years old. They've won one Super Bowl. I wasn't even a fight between my parents yet when the Jets won the Super Bowl. Stop. The Giants have been the most consistent with the Yankees in this town. The Yankees, you heard, the Giants are the hope. And the Knicks, God, just make the playoffs once. Give us something to root for. It'd be nice. But who knows? This is what we got. But after the break, we're going to talk to Howard Cross, old Giants tight end number 87. Howard is a sideline reporter now for the Giants on the radio and just on the preseason games on TV. And Howard's going to talk a bit about what he sees in training camp this year, what he expects from the Giants, how these new guys are going to work out. I'll talk to him a little bit about a couple of things with his career as well. I'll also talk to him a bit about what he thinks of Odell and his future. Odell Beckham, to me, by the way, is the most polarizing athlete in this town. I look at all the sports. Odell Beckham Jr. is exciting. He's got attitude. The kids love him. Obviously, he's a tremendous football player. He's got the ability to lift a team. However, we've seen some of his antics on the football field. Will that hurt him? I'm curious to see what Howard says about what you got out of Odell Beckham, and does he have the capabilities to really be an elite receiver and leader of a football team, because he's in a position to do that for the New York Football Giants, no question. But after the break, we'll have Mr. Howard Cross on, talk a bit about the Giants. I'll take you through to the end of the show in Sports Talk 1240. Talk to you in a second.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Paul Spiteri Show, Sports Talk 1240 at 9:30. And on the phone, we have Mr. Howard Cross. Howard, how are you tonight?
Very good. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Happy belated birthday, Howard.
Thank you very much.
Howard, for all the listeners, tell them about Mr. Cross. Howard played his entire career for the New York Giants, 1989 to 2001. Sixth-round pick out of Alabama and won one Super Bowl ring in 1990. Howard, tell me a bit about, I'm going to go through a little bit of your career, college, and then go talk a bit about the current Giants. University of Alabama, Alabama Sports Hall of Famer, by the way. Are you involved at all with the alumni today?
Oh, no, not as much as I would love to, but, you know, with working at my regular job, working with the Giants, two kids that are just now, you know, going to be sophomores in high school. I got a full slate at this time.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing though how the success they've had under Coach Saban, isn't it? It's unbelievable what they've built over there.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen Coach Saban a couple of times. I got a chance to talk to him. I don't know how to explain it other than he's probably one of the best recruiters there is in the country. And with all that talent, seems like guys come there and do well. He has like a wall of fame of all the players that have passed through the doors and gone into the NFL, Hall of Famers and everything. So he has a good little tool when guys walk in out of a high school trying to choose a college.
Yeah, it's amazing what he's done. So, Howard, you were a sixth-round pick, right? Brian Williams is the number one pick in the draft that you have picked. And one other notable that I found during that class was Mr. Dave Mega. Tell me, though, when you felt like you were making that team, right? Because you're a sixth-round pick, but you're no lock, right, to make a football team. But tell me about your first camp and when you felt like, you know what, I'm making this football team.
Well, you know, I was like a different kid. You know, in college, we had down to two or three offensive coordinators. So we had to learn systems pretty quickly, and we didn't have nearly as much study time in college as you did in the pros. So I probably learned the playbook within the first week of camp. So outside of, like, you know, the whole thing of trying to pick up plays, I hear guys today saying, oh, how are they going to learn new plays? I said, you just study it. It's what you're supposed to do. That's your job.
Yeah.
So I kind of understood what I had to do from a mental standpoint. And once you mentally can do it, it was so much easier to do your physical thing. Your physical abilities, you can let go once you're mentally in check with what's going on in the game.
Yeah. So when you played, I noticed you played for Parcells for 1 year, right? Then you played for Ray Hanley, you played for Reeves, you played for Fossil. So obviously describe me Coach Parcells, right? And though your time was brief with him, you know, how is it played with him compared to the others?
You know, Bill was like he's one of the old school coaches, one of the guys that I'm sure that everyone knows. If you had a coach, the screamer, the yeller, he wanted you to play, spite him. He would beat on you the whole time and then throw you that cupcake or life raft sometimes when you feel like you were drowning. But he was one of those taskmaster guys. He would always say, you know, I want you to be a lot better than my expectations. My expectations are higher than yours. I don't know who you think you're going to be, but I know who I think you're going to be, and I want you to be better than what I see you as. That was, you know, that's Bill in a nutshell. You don't always love him. You don't always hate him. That was part of it. Ray Hanley, believe it or not, was only there 2 years, but you don't really think of Ray that way. He kind of, you know, caught a bad rap because instead of him coming in and trying to change all the players and make it his own system, he's like, I'll just play with the guys that Bill and Georgia put together. So he was kind of behind the eight ball when he took over. Dan Reeves, total different guy. He wanted to do it his own way, argued with the GM constantly. I had the first good year, and then things kind of dwindled down after that. Coach Fossil was a unique pick, a good guy, but, again, more of an offensive-minded guy, enjoyed what he was doing. I think he was one of the new era coaches. He enjoyed the coaching aspect of it more than most people do. Everything that comes along with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to talk a bit about Coach McAdoo in that sense, too, because, obviously, you know, he comes from the offensive side. But one other thing I'm curious about, Howard, you played a little bit with LT towards the end of his career, right? Tell me what it was like to be around him every day.
You know, everybody laughs when I tell them this. Like my dad met LT when I was up here as a rookie, and him and Lawrence were talking. I'm like laughing. I'm like, what are they talking about? He goes, all right, Mr. Cross, see you later. And then when Lawrence comes over, he goes, your dad just told me if you are anywhere you're not supposed to be, if you don't listen, if you do anything wrong, to call him. I'm like, yeah, right. He goes, no, seriously, that's what your dad said. I'm like, so if my dad told you to cattle on me, he goes, you can call it whatever you want to, kid. Your dad just told me, and he says, believe me, anything. So at first I thought it was funny, but if there was ever a moment where I was a little bit outside of where I needed to be, he would come over and go, hey, look, can't be here. You got to go back out. Don't make me call your dad. That was the biggest joke with him the whole time.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how when you look at him, you know, you watch. I mean, you watch Office Live NFL. You think there'll ever be a player that was as feared and dominant as he was on defense?
No, you know, the league is changing so much and evolving so much, you just can't find that player, somebody who was just that in tune with the game, that was that athletic. I think, you know, out of everything that happens with Lawrence, I think people overlook his true athleticism. At that size, that speed, he was truly like a freak of nature. And he could do a lot of things that you probably never see again. He was like 255 pounds or so, running that fast, those kind of moves. The guys couldn't get their hands on him. He could get by a tackle almost before he could have his stance. So he had that explosive first step that made him beyond unique. And he didn't have his hand on the ground like a sprinter. He was doing it from a standing position.
Yeah, it was amazing. So before we start going to the more of the current Giants, I want to ask you something. You're on the sideline during that Super Bowl versus Buffalo. Are you one of the players that's watching that kick covering your eyes? Are you hiding somewhere? You're watching it. Tell me what you were doing, what you were thinking when that kick goes up and misses.
Well, you know, as a rookie, you play on all the special teams. You have to read all the scouting reports and stuff, and even the other kicker and Norwood. He had like a limit of something that he couldn't make one over a certain distance on grass, or he was like less than like 40%. And the whole objective in that drive was to keep them beyond that range. And when the time for that kick comes up, be like, okay, well, he's beyond the range, so he should make it. When he kicks it, it's like, oh my God, he didn't make it. Okay, that's cool. But you're watching it. Most guys, the guys shoot their heads down. They weren't studying the special team scouting report because they didn't have to play special teams. So that's kind of, you know, back then we had pretty detailed, and probably a good day, but very, very detailed scouting reports. And that's what I always tell people. Like, it's something when you don't, if you pay attention and you read all the scouting reports, you kind of understand why they're doing what they're doing and what the emphasis was on.
Yeah. No, I was always curious about, if I was ever in that position, what would I be doing? And you watch some of the sideline stuff and what guys do. So I was curious to see what you thought. So before we talk about the current New York Giants, I had to ask you, right, when did you start thinking about your career transitioning to a media role that you're playing today, right? Was it an aspiration to you, someone, or did, like, you know, a guy in the media or an executive say, hey, Howard, you'd be great at this? Tell me a bit about that transition.
Well, you know, this is my full-time gig. I'm a commercial real estate broker, so I'm a partner in a firm in the city. The media thing came more out of my wife than anything else. I do a lot of corporate speeches. The company hired me to come in, and then one company, I think they had an agent or something there. He was there for I don't know what reason. Maybe they were looking at something or doing whatever that was involved with this financial firm. And he comes over to me and goes, "Have you ever thought about being in media?" I'm like, no, not really. He goes, "You'd be great on TV." I'm like, sure. So after that, I started doing, you know, a little something here with Yes. I did some other shows with CBS for a little bit. I got on Fox a little bit. I did a little bit, a smidge here, a smidge there. You know, my whole thing with the media was that I understood that being the guy that was, you know, a talking head, or being one of the guys that was calling the games, the very next, you know, borderline Hall of Fame player who wants to get in, I was out.
Yeah.
So I kind of got that. No matter how good I became or you know, whatever staple I thought I may be, that it would just be too easy for someone to come in and they could move me out. And I'm like, all right, well, let me make sure that I have another job that I can trust, that I can work in. My wife even said to the day, she goes, like, if, you know, did you ever really want to do media all the time? I'm like, yeah, I guess it would have been fun, but I just didn't have that kind of an opportunity or that kind of security if I was trying to do it.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. So you go from rent rolls and square foot worrying about, right, the leases for for commercial real estate to talking about the Giants, but it's great.
Yeah, you go back and forth all the time.
Yeah, I'm always curious. So let's transition, right, a little bit into the Giants this season. But before I do that, I got to tell you how I kind of, you know, first listened to you on the radio. I was driving my kids to a basketball like class they were doing last fall, and it was a Giant Panther game, right? Okay. Which is obviously, for anyone who saw, I didn't see it live. I listened, which I got to tell you, in this day and age, it was actually quite amazing to listen to, because I was listening to you, and, you know, and obviously Carl Banks, but your description of what was going on in that field with Odell and Josh Norman was unbelievable. And I'm sitting there listening to it, and you were pretty adamant, right, about Odell's behavior. Tell me a bit about what you were seeing, you know, how he reacted, you know, so just give me a little bit of what it was like to be right there for that.
Well, you know, I don't think fans realize that Odell was beating Josh in the ground, like literally, like every time he'd go by him, he blew by him, and he couldn't get near him. And Josh kept chirping at him and chirping at him and chirping at him. He just got inside of his head and he lost his mind. And I'm like, you know, they got to stop it. The funny thing is, as I look back on it, you know, the emotions were like, guys, like I was like, someone needs to come over and grab him, pull him to the side and talk to him, a player, you know, a veteran or something, but he's kind of the star of the team. So nobody could really pull him back or draw him back into the crowd. The funny thing, if you think about it, is, how many times in a game do you hear them blow the whistle when they say hands to the face?
Yeah.
It happens almost every other series. There's a hands to the face. Nothing flagrant, nothing crazy, just somebody's hands got on someone's face mask. The referee saw it. It was there too long, and they threw a flag. These guys were, like, body slamming each other with each other's helmets.
Yeah.
They didn't throw a flag.
Yeah.
So the officials who are calling the game, they don't do anything to, you know, they basically have watched ESPN, the NFL Network. They've listened to the radio. They've talked to, you know, and prepared for, can't wait to see this match, like watching a boxing match. And they wanted to see it play out. Then the NFL turns around and suspends Odell for he was acting out, you know, he shouldn't have been doing that. I'm like, this is the craziest thing. I'm not as a Giants fan or anything else. I'm just as an observer. The NFL was wrong. They should never have suspended him. If anything, they should have suspended officials.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't get control over two guys who are fighting, just, hey, look, guys, knock it off. Throw flags, warn both sidelines. Somebody does it, just throw them out of the game. Move on. They just let it go on.
Yeah. No, and it was amazing. You know, sometimes you wonder if the refs, you know, and I think how you're, it's hard to say, right? Because I always try to put myself in people's positions, right? They're in the moment. Are they just sitting there saying they're amazed? But first of all, they're watching two of the better players of their positions in the NFL. They're polarized. Mm-hmm. They're both polarizing characters. Are they kind of sitting there like as fans sometimes, like saying, "Holy, like, oh my God, look at this."
Like, yeah, your job is to protect the players that are on the field and keep the rules, you know, intact when you're out there with the striped shirts and the whistles. All you have to do, the first time hands to the face, throw a flag.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first time. Then the coach will go, "Hey, you're hurting the team. Stop with the hands to the face." Like it wouldn't be even a long conversation. It'd be over.
Yeah, but that was interesting.
You can chirp if you want.
Yeah.
But do not put your hands on his helmet again.
But I don't know if it was you or Carl Banks that kept saying, put him on the bench. He has to sit down. He has to sit down. And
yeah,
he never sat him down because I think Coughlin, he needed him to win that football game.
Well, when you have, like, basically last year, you know, no offense to Ruben Randall, you basically only had one legitimate threat playing. Will Tye was trying to come on as a tight end. You had, you know, Larry Donnell was out, like totally out. He had hurt his neck, so Cruz was out. It was just Sam Harris was, I believe, at that point in the season. He was playing, but he was half a man because they had beat him to, you know, between all the return yards and catching the ball, and you know, he won't turn a ball down. But
yeah,
if you throw it to him under any circumstances, that kid will just lay out and just take the beating. I'm like, wow. I'm like, every time I see him get hit, I'm like, he's never getting up from that. And he gets up and jogs back to the huddle. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. Every game he has ice everywhere. Everything's wrapped up. Next week, he's back out there again. I'm like, the kid's got back an Android or something. Like, it was just funny. So you really didn't have anyone else that was able to step up and to make plays. The running game was, you know, less than stellar. And you got this kid who you know, is a great kid. I mean, Odell is a great kid. He's highly energized. He wants to play. He wants the ball. He's not doing a Dez Bryant type crazy moment.
He's actually angry at another guy, and he's about to lose his mind playing ball, but you need him in the game to make a play.
Yeah,
so it's a tough position to be in when you're trying to win a game.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think, you know, to me, Howard, how good can Odell be, right? It's amazing what he's already accomplished. Yeah, does he have the mental makeup and commitment to be the best in the game? And I mean, I know it's early in his career, but what he's accomplished in the first 2 years of his career, to me, can he be one of the best of all time? And what do you think about his long-term prospects?
Well, here's the thing. Let's say Eli plays three solid good years. And whether the Giants are good or bad, Eli's playing. So there's 3 years left in his career where he's phenomenal. Then if Eli kind of leaves the game, or 4 years, if Eli leaves the game on a winning note, say they won the Super Bowl and Eli retires, kind of like his brother did.
Yeah.
If that happens, then who replaces? You see what's going on in Denver now. They got Mark Sanchez and Paxton Lynch, and I don't even know the other guy that they're trying out.
Trevor Siemian.
they're trying out random people at quarterback. They're like, well, we'll make it on our defense. Well, the Giants don't really have that kind of scenario. And they need someone to get the ball to Odell. You have to have a guy that can get the ball to him.
Yeah.
So what happens in that scenario? Like, does his numbers stay? I mean, look at the receivers around the league when they get a quarterback that isn't – I don't want to be mean to the quarterbacks, but there are guys in the league that could have had great – Larry Fitzgerald comes to mind.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald could have had, you know, could have been a 100 reception a year guy. He still is in phenomenal shape. He still works like crazy. He could have been that guy forever. Or, you know, Calvin Johnson just left. He had the benefit of having a quarterback, not a great quarterback, but a quarterback who could get him the ball and, you know, could get it to him downfield, get it to him in tight spots. He had a quarterback to get him the ball. When you lose that guy on the field, that's when your numbers drop, and some guys won't have that. I mean, it's just some guys can get around it. You know, my man down in Houston got around it. I don't know who the quarterback's there. You know, there was for the last two or three years. I think
Ryan Fitzpatrick was one of them.
Yeah, it was one of them. And Holt, he just had a great year and a great year and a great year. But that's because he was basically, no offense to anyone else there, but he was basically the only option.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Odell's going to go through a scenario where, is he going to be the only option? You know, now with this kid Shepard coming onto the team, he's young, he's in phenomenal shape. Can he hang out for a few years and make it easier on a quarterback? Will there be a tight end that can actually, you know, be a part of the offense? Will the Giants' offensive line ever be able to sustain just a minimal running game, not a great running game, just a minimal running game to create options? If any of that stuff can start to happen, at that point, you know, Odell will have a better career. But if one part of that kind of falls apart, then no, he's going to have a hard time.
Yeah, it's interesting. So tell me, Howard, the team this year, how is it under Bob McAdoo, right? You've been around the team for many years. How's his camp compared to what it was like for Coughlin? You know, what's the transition been like?
He's trying to do a lot. I mean, he's trying to keep a lot of Coach Coughlin's, mental part of the game in place for the guys. But at the same time, he's trying to mix up what they're doing. Kind of like, we're not going to do the same thing at any 2 days in a row. We're going to mix it up a lot so that you guys never get comfortable. I want you guys to be mentally stressed, learning systems, learning how to do everything. If you're not, then if you get comfortable, you're not going to work hard. So he's trying to mix it up a lot more. It's kind of like when you go through one of those crazy, like Tony Horton workouts or something. You're not doing crazy heavy things, but you're mixing it up constantly to keep your fresh, keep your mind fresh, and keep you really involved. So far, it seems to be working. But you know, he's battling the same thing that Coach Coughlin about keeping up. The offensive line intact, you know, from the beginning of the preseason to the end, trying to keep everybody on the field and get some kind of run production early on.
So Ty, when you look at the team, right, obviously a lot of big names signed in free agency, right, Olivier Vernon came in and George Jenkins, and they got, you know, my favorite nickname, Snacks Harrison, up the middle. Tell me what the defense and is going to look like and what it's been like in camp, and what can we expect out of JPP this year?
I think JPP will get he'll get more opportunities to get to the quarterback. Olivier Vernon is a talented pass rusher and plays a run well and a really tough kid. He's going to really show off his skills on one side, which will, you know, cause a lot of trouble. Then that gives JPP a free one. And watch out for Double O. He's going to, you know, be that surprise pass rusher that people haven't really thought about or weren't really thinking about. He was a draft pick last year, and now he's healthy. He's coming in. Like you said, I think he's had 3 sacks this preseason, so just in its first 2 games. So those 3 guys as pass rushers are going to be formidable. In the run game, Snacks was probably the number one defensive tackle in the league last year and stopping the run. If you end up the middle, you almost got nothing running in his area. So that's going to be good. You got Big Jenkins out there. He's going to play. He's playing a lot better. He's healthy this year. He got some time off from the injury, so he's got fresh legs. He's going to really get after it. You know, their question is going to be, who is going to be that 5th and 6th and 7th guy that can come in and play and spell these guys and not let the tempo or not let the, you know, pressure fall off at all if needed. They got a great battle going on at linebacker. A lot of different faces coming in there, so that's going to be interesting. The secondary seems to be, and I don't want to say it out loud because it didn't seem like I'll be jinxing them, but it seems like where they got the most depth, with Eli Apple showing up, Jenkins, these guys are going to be really good on the outside. It's just impressive to see how far they came, just like with just adding 2 or 3 players. Thompson, the safety, unbelievable kid coming in out of Boise. He has it down packed. He's a leader back there. He's even picked up my man Collins from Alabama, making him a better player. So everything you see is pretty phenomenal from the defense. But again, it's going to be can they hold the line of scrimmage offensively, and if they can hold it offensively, can they? Any kind of a run game. I'm talking anything. They can get anything in a run game at all. It's going to make the team, maybe win the division, maybe, you know, go a lot further than people that would ever think. Not just playoffs, but make some noise in the playoffs. They got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah. No, I think it sounds like that's the area you're really looking for some improvement on at running back. But, Howard, before we wrap up, I like to close all my interviews with what I call a lightning round. I'm going to ask you a bunch of quick questions. Give me the first answer that comes to your mind before we close out. All right, I might be jogging your memory a little bit here, but let's go. Toughest defender you ever had to block?
Charles Haley.
Best player you ever played with or against?
Lawrence Taylor.
Opposing coach you developed a dislike for and wanted to beat his ass?
Didn't like it. That never happened.
Come on, how you play? You played with nobody from the Eagles or Jimmy Johnson or the Cowboys? All right.
I could care less.
Road City you enjoyed playing in?
So Road City, Washington.
Yeah. Road City you hated going to play in?
Philadelphia.
Wow. I interviewed Carl Mecklenburg 2 weeks ago. He said the same thing. Biggest trash talker you played against?
Biggest trash talker I played with?
With or against?
No. Oh, my God. The guy from Minnesota, Hall of Famer. I can't think of
his name. Oh, Randall?
Randall.
John Randall? Yeah.
Sorry.
Tell me the Giants player no one is talking about who we'll all be talking about by the end of the year.
Giants player. No one's talking about it. We'll all be coming up at the end of the year. That's tough. I would say probably Larry Donnell.
Well, Larry Donnell, okay. When Odell Beckham's career is over, he'll be remembered as?
One of the top receivers in NFL history.
Wow. And lastly, Howard, what will the Giants' record be?
I think they might go 10-6 this year.
Is that
which is, you know, it's only
one or two games different than what they were last year, but they're going to be 10-6. If they get to 11-5, they'll be great, but I think 10-6.
All right. And any Super Bowl prediction? Willing to make one?
Super Bowl prediction? I have no idea. It's so early in the season. Denver, no quarterback. You don't know who could come out of the AFC. I will give you this. Pay attention to Tennessee this year. I know everybody's talking about all these other teams, but my man Derrick Henry's there. Mariota doesn't have to throw the ball at all. He has two, with McCoy and Henry running the ball. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the Titans this year.
I agree with that. Actually, on my last show, I mentioned them as well. But, Howard, I'm going to wrap up. I wanted to thank you so much for coming on tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. Hopefully we could check in with you during the season. And good luck out there with the Giants this year and juggling all these jobs during football season.
Hey, somebody's got to do it.
Thanks again, Howard. Yeah, pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
So that was Howard Cross. It was a great half hour. I really enjoyed talking to Howard. By the way, the two NFL players I've interviewed in the lightning round, it said that the city you hated playing in was Philadelphia. So my caller for Andy from Philadelphia, the distinction that every NFL player that I've spoken to hates going to Philly just, I think, adds to the legacy. So, everyone, I want to thank Brian Graves on the side of the glass for producing the show tonight. Rob Cowell at home in Massapequa for all of his words of inspiration and getting me on the air. Everyone, thank you for joining me. The Paul Spiteri Show at Sports Talk 1240. Have a good night.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.